And we're in transition with the library and the nursery, and you'll be hearing more about that as we get things together. But I think you already heard there's a big sale going on in the gym. Check that out. Also, just want to say a big thank you to Mike Huss for filling in last Sunday. I wish he was here to hear me say the words, but I appreciate that there's somebody so capable of filling in. I heard nothing but good reports. People had a positive review of his message. If there is such a thing as, do you review sermons? Like give it 5 stars and all that? I think you got 5 stars. So it was good. All right. It's time for Kids Church. So that's age 3 through grade 4. Head out the back doors. The rest of you, if you got a Bible or a Bible app, please turn to John chapter 17. By the way, I'm Pastor Phil, and I'll be your primary speaker this morning. John 17, we have been working our way through the Gospel of John, talking about the red letters. And in the Bible, anytime there's red letters, it means Jesus is speaking. And God himself says that we should listen when Jesus talks. And so that's what we've been doing. We're getting near the end. We've just got a couple more weeks left, and then we'll switch gears to something else. But we've been looking at the red letters. And in John 17, I'm really just going to hit a few verses out of the whole chapter. But does your Bible have little headings in it like mine does? There at the beginning it says, Jesus prays for himself. And then in the middle, Jesus prays for his disciples. And then near the end it says, Jesus prays for all believers. And so here we have Jesus praying. How many knows if our Lord needs to pray, we need to pray? Yeah. Well, I want to just start with verse 1 and just take one verse here. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. And just a real simple observation. He looked toward heaven. Where is your focus? Where are you looking? So often we look at circumstances, or we look at just whatever the very next thing is instead of looking heavenward. And Jesus, of course, is always our great example, and he is looking towards heaven. That's where our focus should be as well. In fact, you tend to find whatever you're looking for. So if you're looking heavenward, if you're looking towards God, you're probably going to find God in circumstances. Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. You know those verses. And we often talk about that in the context of prayer, that you should ask and the Lord will answer your prayer. And then if you really need something, you should seek it. And then if you really want something really dramatically from the Lord, you got to knock on the door. You know, I've preached sermons like that. But there's even just a real simple point here. Seek and you will find. You tend to find whatever you're looking for. You ever notice that? If you're looking for trouble, you're probably going to find trouble. If you're looking for flaws in everybody, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see flaws in everybody. So it's important for us to have a proper focus. Let's be looking for the Lord in every circumstance. And then instead of being blindsided or overwhelmed by our circumstances, we see the Lord instead. And how many knows that he is bigger and more powerful than any circumstance that we might have to face? Jesus looked heavenward. We should also look heavenward and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. John Bunyan said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. You know, we need to keep our hearts and our minds on the Lord. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So often we easily get focused on earthly things. You know, I know what it is to feel overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. And yet the scripture repeatedly tells us, Set your hearts, set your minds on things above. Let's keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we should pray. Jesus looked toward heaven and he prayed. There's a bunch of scripture about prayer. Let me give you just a few. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus told a parable to teach his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. We should be people of prayer. Ephesians 16 says that we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, we should be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Did you catch the terminology in there? We should always keep on praying for all the saints. We should always pray and not give always, 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 all. We should be people of prayer. And then Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There's an attitude about prayer that Christians need to have, that we will be people of prayer. The scripture even says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we should pray continually. Well, how do you do that? You just have a run-on conversation with the Lord? Well, sort of, kind of. I mean, you got to go about your daily business, and you're going to have conversations with other people, but in your heart and your mind, you could be having this ongoing conversation with God. We should be people of prayer. It's been told that some of the early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in their private devotions. And each one reportedly had a separate spot out in the thicket where he would pour out his heart to God. And over time, the paths to these places became well-worn. And as a result, if any one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to the others, and they would kindly remind the negligent one, brother, the grass grows on your path. Isn't that good? Don't let the grass grow on your path, the path that you make to spend time with God. Don't let the grass grow on that path, but keep on beating that path down as you get alone with God. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Prayer matters. Prayer accomplishes great results. It works. Can I get a witness? Anybody here ever had a prayer answered? Okay, there you go. And a righteous man, who's a righteous man? According to the scripture, anyone who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior is a righteous man. 2 Corinthians, I think it's 5, verse 20 says that. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So the prayer of an average believer is powerful and effective. We need to be people of prayer. Thomas Watson talks about the power of prayer, and he says, it was an angel that fetched Peter out of prison, if you know that story, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. You see, prayer preceded it. Then, back in John chapter 17, look at verse 17. The red letters there, Jesus prays, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. He wants us to be sanctified by the truth, and his word is truth. Matthew 4:4 says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, God's word is food for our souls. If you want to be a healthy person, you need to eat fairly regularly. Right? Yeah. And you need to watch what you eat. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it, but eating is part of good health. I know there's kind of a movement today that eating's all bad. You know, because that's just because we let our appetites control us. But truth is, you have to eat to be healthy. You have to eat to live. So it is spiritually. We need to eat to live spiritually, and it's God's word that feeds our souls. Ephesians 5:26 talks about the washing with water through the word. His word also has a cleansing effect on us. You know, we get dirty. And we need a bath or a shower from time to time. Right? I mean, some worked the Farm Progress Show yesterday and they needed a shower afterwards. Yeah, for sure. And we need, our soul needs to get washed as well, because we tend to get the filth of the world on us. You know, and even when we're not intentionally going after sinful things, we still get the dirt of the world around us and on us. And so we need to get washed, and God's word does that. He washes us with his word. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word is living and active. It's not just black and red letters on a white page. The Spirit of God works in this word to us. It's living and active. Somebody said, other books were given for our information. The Bible was given for our transformation. You see, there's supernatural power in the Word of God. And you can think of it this way. How did God create in Genesis chapter 1? He spoke and things came to be. Just that simple. And God has spoken in his word to us. And guess what? Supernatural things can happen just by hearing his word and getting his word into us. Somebody else said a Bible in the hand is worth two in the bookcase. It's pretty good. I've said before, every Christian should own a red Bible. R-E-A-D. Need to read it. Somebody else said, what makes the difference is not how many times you have been through the Bible, but how many times and how thoroughly the Bible has been through you. And then here's one about a job application. It says, I would like a job as tutor, teacher, and advisor to your family. I will never take a vacation. I will never be out of humor. I don't drink or smoke. I won't borrow your clothes or raid your refrigerator. I will be up in the morning as early as anyone in the household and will stay up as late as anyone wishes. I will help solve any problems your children might have. I will give you the satisfaction of knowing that no question your children ask will go unanswered. For that matter, I will answer any of your own questions on subjects that range from how we got here to where are we headed. I will help settle bets and differences of opinion. I will give you information that will help you with your job, your family, and all of your other interests. In short, I will give you the knowledge that will ensure the continued success of your family. I am your Bible. Do I get the job? We need to be people of the Word. And Jesus prays that we would be sanctified by the truth. And God's word is the truth. We need to be people of the word. Then in verse 23, Jesus prays again. He says, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. He speaks of unity. He also talked about this back in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, where he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's what Jesus wants for us. And then it's written about again in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, where it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Jesus prays for the unity of all believers. And you know what? Normally we pray and we want God to answer our prayers. But here is one where Jesus is praying and we can answer his prayer when we're unified together. We get to answer the Lord's prayer. Isn't that cool? And here in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, bear with one another in love. I've talked about this 100,000 times probably. I'm going to hit it again. That really just means put up with each other. That's really what it means. Bear with each other means put up with each other. Guess what? You are not going to always like everything about everybody you run into. There's probably some things about me you don't like. I can't hardly imagine that, but there might be some things about me that you don't like. Guess what? There might be some things about you that I don't like. And just look around the room. Okay, don't be pointing fingers now. But, you know, you look around the room and you don't like everything about everybody all the time. That's just unrealistic. So that's when the scripture comes into play. That's when you put up with each other. Even when somebody rubs you wrong, the Bible says, put up with each other. That's how you do unity. And it not only says that, it says make every effort to keep the unity. Okay? So that what that means is the minute somebody rubs you wrong, you're done with church and you walk away and you never come back again. Right? No, that's not what that means. It means you work at it. You work hard. You put some effort into it to tolerate and get along with each other. That's what it means. Make every effort. And that every effort is a very, in the original language, is a very physical, aggressive kind of thing. It's like two guys in a wrestling match that are very equally matched. You know, it's everything they've got to try to take that other guy down. That's the kind of effort we're to put into the unity of believers. So this wimpy little thing where, oh, they said this or they looked at me this way, get over it. Make an effort. Put up with each other. Okay? You don't like it? Come talk to me face to face. I'll tell you to get over it right to your face. And a little humor goes a long ways. But that's what we're called to do. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demanded that Linus change TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't. What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over? Asked Linus. These five fingers, says Lucy. Individually, they're nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Which channel do you want? Asked Linus. And turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, why can't you guys get organized like that? There's power in unity. It's a witness to the world, and we can accomplish so many things. You know, I'm really not talking about a team today, but the acrostic for team is together, everyone achieves more. You know, unity is a big deal. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 says this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and let's answer the question. Are you encouraged from being united with Christ? Okay. Have you been comforted by God's love? Do you have some fellowship with the Spirit? Do you have a little bit of tenderness and compassion in you? Then Paul says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So we answered yes to those questions. And Paul says, so if you answered yes to those questions, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Being one in purpose. And it takes humility to do that. takes humility to be united and to be in one purpose. And it takes the attitude of Christ. He's always our great example. Then I want to reference 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 14. It talks about the body of Christ. Here's what it says. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Listen to this. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. You see, this idea of unity doesn't mean that we always say and think exactly the same thing on every single line item. Because some of us are hands, and some of us are feet, and some of us are eyes, and some of us are noses. And we all have different contributions to the body of Christ, and we react and think differently about things, and yet we're all part of one body. You understand? That's the way it works. That's the kind of unity we're talking about. Not that we're all cookie cutters, exactly the same on every issue, but that we are together, even though we serve different purposes and different designs that God has called each of us to. And have you ever been doing carpentry and accidentally hit your thumb? How does your body react? Is it just your thumb? Or no, it's one of these. The whole body reacts. Right? That's what Paul's saying. If one part suffers, we all suffer together. And if one part rejoices, we all rejoice together. You get a good shoulder and neck rub. You could feel it right now, right? Just kind of imagine that massage on the shoulder. It's kind of like the whole body. Just kind of, oh, yeah. That's the way the body works. We're all in this together, and Jesus is praying for us to be unified together. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this little story. Edward Dobson says, Tonto and the Lone... How many remember Tonto and the Lone Ranger? Yeah. Tonto and the Lone Ranger were riding through a canyon together when all of a sudden both sides were filled with Native American warriors on horses dressed for battle. The Lone Ranger turned to Tonto and asked, what are we going to do? And Tonto replied, what do you mean we? White men. That's not the way it's to be done. When we're faced with difficult times, we come together and we work together to get through those hard times. That's the way it's supposed to be. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. And so we gather on a regular basis. Every Sunday morning we gather together, and there's other things that happen periodically. We get together, and part of that is to encourage each other. We're in this together. We're following the Lord together. And it's not always easy to do that, especially in this world in these last days as society is turning more and more against God. It's harder and harder to really follow the Lord. And so we need each other to encourage one another, to press on and keep on following the Lord. Vesta Kelly says, snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things, but just look at what they can do when they stick together. Yeah. Enough of them stick together, you ain't going anywhere. Enough of them stick together and come tumbling down a hill, they can do some serious damage. There's power in unity. And Jesus prays for all believers. That's you and me. He prays that we would be unified. And we can answer his prayer by making every effort to stay unified. So today's message covers what I like to call the big three. Now, we've heard of other big threes in different arenas, like the big three auto manufacturers, Chrysler, Ford, and GM, the big three TV networks, ABC, CBS, NBC. These are the big three necessities for every believer: fellowship, Bible, and prayer. We all need all three. We all need fellowship with other believers. No man is an island. We need each other, and even more in these last days. We need each other. We all need to be people of the Bible. We should read it, study it, know it, live it. And we all need to be people of prayer. Now, I know some have a special ability to pray, but we are all called to pray. In fact, these three, fellowship, Bible, and prayer, really align with our slogan, which is on our banner over here: personal, practical, powerful. Fellowship and unity are all about being personal. The Bible gives us daily guidance, and therefore it's very practical. And prayer connects us with God and his ability, which is very powerful. The big three. And this is what Jesus prays for. A whole chapter is about Jesus praying, and he covers these big three things in his prayer. We need to be people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who will pray, who will read our Bibles and obey our Bibles, and who will make every effort to keep the unity of the body of Christ. That's our call today. Will you heed the call? Pray, read your Bible, make every effort to keep the unity. We can do it. And we will be blessed if we do. Amen? Amen. Would you please stand? I'd like to pray. God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, even though he was God in the flesh, he prayed. How much more do we need to pray? God, help us to be people of prayer. Help us to set aside time each day to just get alone with you and pray. And help us, Lord, not only that, but to just kind of have a heart and a mind of prayer all throughout the day. Help us, God. Lord, help us to be people who are in your word. Not just hear it once in a while from somebody else, but we read it and study it and know it ourselves. And help us to live it out. And then, Lord, help us to fulfill your prayer for unity. Help us to be the ones who will put up with each other and work hard at sticking together so the enemy cannot get a foothold and bring trouble into the body of Christ. Help us, God. We cannot do it without your strength. But we surrender and we say, yes, we will cooperate as you enable us. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week. Be sure and encourage somebody before you go today.